God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a lot of my tastes and interests have changed as I've gotten older. But at least one thing remains the same. I love going to the zoo. And the most incredible zoo I've ever been to is the Bronx Zoo in New York. It is massive. It is so big that the only chance you have of seeing the whole thing is if you get there the minute the gates open, you stay until the minute the gates close, you take minimal bathroom breaks, and you don't give yourself more than 20 minutes to eat. If you do all that, and if you walk as fast as you can, maybe you'll see the whole Bronx Zoo. And wear your good shoes, because you gotta keep moving. Now, something I didn't know about zoos, but maybe I should have guessed, is that the ones with the most money and resources are constantly studying and learning and evolving, constantly trying to be the best zoos that they can be. It used to be, and still is in many zoos, that animals are only kept with other animals of the same species. But I learned from the Bronx Zoo that animals do much, much better in captivity if they're kept with one or two or three other species in the same habitat. Obviously not species that are going to kill each other. But it's about as important to their survival as it is of them having enough space to run around. It's as important as them getting the right kind of food. A very basic example, and one that occurs in nature, are plover birds and crocodiles. Plovers eat the food that gets caught in crocodiles' teeth, so they don't have to hunt on their own. And crocodiles let them hang out in their mouths because they get free dental care out of it. That's true. I know that sounds like a thing I made up. That's true. Animals that don't get some variety don't do well. They're depressed, yes, a crocodile can be depressed. They're inappropriately aggressive, and they die a lot younger. So the conventional wisdom of keeping like with like is wrong. Sometimes very different things need each other to survive and thrive. I don't know where exactly this idea came from, and I don't know why exactly it gained so much traction, but it seems pretty clear to me that most people would consider praying and acting as fundamentally different things, unrelated things, things that are usually kept separate. I must admit, sometimes I fall into this trap. I've often been annoyed by those who offer their thoughts and prayers in response to demands for action, for policy changes, or anything else. I'm annoyed when I hear in response to mass shootings, we'll think and we'll pray on these victims. Instead of changing policy, instead of increasing access to mental health care for children and young adults, and to be fair, I think James would be annoyed by that too. A few weeks ago, James warned us against giving a hungry or cold person a blessing without also giving them a blanket and a snack. No matter what side of the debate on gun control you come down on, and there's plenty of room for lots of opinions. I happen to think they're tiny little weapons of murder, and I don't like them very much, but I married a person who collects them. There's lots of room for debate, and I don't want anybody who's being responsible to have their rights taken from them. But the common denominator on both sides of this conversation is that nobody is giving prayer the respect that it deserves. On one side, we have people in power saying they'll pray because school-aged children are dead and they have to respond somehow, but they have no intention of doing anything to alleviate the problem. And on the other side, we have people that consider praying to be no more effective than yelling at the ceiling. Either prayer is the thing you do when you'd rather do nothing, or it's a gigantic waste of time, a form of self-deception. And it's not like guns are the only area in which prayer has been devalued. We pray for people we could be helping, because praying is more convenient than giving your time or your money or your stuff. And we ask people to pray for us when really we need help. But admitting you need actual help from someone makes you feel vulnerable, and people as a rule are proud, so instead we tell people, just probably used it before, but it goes something like this. I prayed for 20 years and I got no answer until I started praying with my legs. Meaning I asked God for what I wanted and I did nothing to follow through. I did nothing to show I had any faith in those prayers. But once prayer became the thing that motivated me to act, once I stepped out in the faith that God was listening and could use me to answer prayers, I saw my prayers were indeed answered. And I'm telling you, when he said that, James, the guy that wrote the passage that Katie read for us this morning, James must have had the biggest smile on his face because Frederick Douglass really got it. If the only part of the book of James you knew was this passage, you might think that this book was all about spiritual and tangible things, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Most of James is about putting what you believe into action. It's about how what you believe isn't enough if you don't act like you believe it. James has plenty to say about how we're supposed to take care of the poor by meeting their needs, about how believing in Jesus doesn't mean a darn thing if you don't follow and obey what he said. But now, at the very end of what is a very practical book, we have a word about prayer. In fact, right before the section we read together today, James basically says, I saved the best part for last. This last part right here, this is the important part. The part about praying. So what does that mean? Or I guess, what doesn't that mean? So it's not like James hit his head on a low-hanging olive tree branch and underwent a complete personality change before writing chapter 5. I mean, I guess I don't know for a fact that that didn't happen, but it doesn't seem likely that that's what happened. What I think seems more likely is that James does not have the problem that we have with relating prayer to action. James advises us to pray no matter what our circumstances are, to be in constant conversation with God, and not just with God, but with everybody else in the community of faith too. Prayer is a thing we do together. It's one of the things that binds us to one another because praying together leads to acting together. And it ensures that the acting we do is good and effective and not self-destructive and ineffective. Praying is a way of acknowledging that us and God, we're in this thing together. God is at work in the world, and praying is a way we link ourselves up to and join in the work that's already happening. And when we come to the end of ourselves and what we can do, keep praying because God has certainly got more in the tank. Prayer reminds us both that God chooses now and has always chosen to operate through us, through people. But it also reminds us that miracles do happen even when we can't make things happen on our own. And we're never going to know the fullness of the possibilities available to us when we keep that dialogue going with God, when we keep trying to put prayer and action into different cages. Prayer and action have a symbiotic relationship, just like clover birds and crocodiles. Neither action nor prayer can do all it's intended to do without the other. In many ways, the church itself is a testament to the power of praying together and then acting together. We pray together every Sunday, asking for God to bring blessings and healing to our community in ways we can't do on our own. We ask God for guidance and wisdom and motivation and creativity because God wants us to be at least partial agents of the blessing and the healing, and then we do. We serve food at Manna Cafe. We keep our little free food pantry stocked. We raise money for different charities. We have clothing drives. We do all sorts of things because we know, because we have prayed to be part of the healing and blessing of this community. Those aren't things we do on top of praying. They're things we do because we pray. They're all ways God continuously answers our prayer to make God's kingdom come and God's will be done. You all live out this truth, maybe. before, take it to heart now. Pray at all times, pray for all reasons, not just with your words. Pray with your legs too. I invite you to join.